He fought to one over par and would have been safe, but he fell foul of a rules infringement, and a two-strokes penalty sees him miss out.
And I'll be back with more in an hour's time. Tami Kuza, SAFM Sports.
Weekend AM Live on SAFM.
Well, and it is the big one today, isn't it? We're asking you, what are your expectations of the Orange Africa Cup of Nations tournament, which kicks off today at the National Stadium in Soweto? Let us know what's on your mind. That number again, 34701, start your SMS with the word weekend, like us on the Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. International mathematicians and graduate students met this week to help find a mathematical solution to rhino killing. Now, this follows the poaching of 600 rhinos last year, with white rhinos being the most affected by the poaching. Now, to find out more, we're joined on the line by Wits University's Michael Sasrulov. He's an independent conservationist. Michael, good morning.
Good.
Now, can you first tell us why the white rhinos have been such a big target for poachers?
Well, Elvis, rhino poaching is nothing new. It's been happening over the last few decades, mostly in other African countries. And South Africa really ended up with the last large population of rhinos because we protected them more aggressively than the other countries. And there was a lull in rhino poaching from about the mid-90s after a lot of the Asian countries banned domestic trade. And unfortunately, the price just kept going up, and now that people are becoming more affluent in Asia, there's greater demand once again. The white rhinos, of all the rhinos that are left, are the largest, the easiest to hunt, and they've got the biggest horns. So that's why they're getting hit.
Now, what were some of the ideas given by the mathematicians on how the rhino can be protected from these poachers?
Okay, well, we looked at the kind of factors and the dynamics driving the trade, and one of the most critical factors is the high price. So we looked at what are the kinds of things that would bring down the price and also bring down and make poaching less profitable, or make illegal trade less profitable. So in order to figure this out, you want to draw up equations that kind of explain the behavior of the actors, and then look at the variables in the equation and ask, how can you affect these variables?
Now, it is said that given various production and cost parameters, we can determine the likely effect of a change in trade policy and various demand parameters. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay, so modeling doesn't only aim to explain what is happening, but it can also explain the dynamics of the system and predict future behavior. And what you can do is you can say, look, if we change this variable, how will it change the other variables? So if we, for example, legalize the trade and increase the production of horn, the supply of horn into the market, how will that impact on the demand, and how in turn will that impact upon the price and the profitability?
Now, there was also a call to legalize rhino trading. What impact is that likely to have on poaching?
Well, it could go one of two ways. Legalizing trade could stimulate further demand, but it could also bring, as I say, it could bring down the prices and make it less profitable. What we need to do is look at the actual level of sensitivity, and that's what we're trying to get a grip with.
So what's the next step now, Michael?
We weren't able to come to conclusive answers in the workshop because we're still missing some data, but the group is going to continue their work going forward, and we're going to try and work together with various other actors in the conservation industry to get more solid data and to move towards more decisive answers.
Sounds very interesting. And when do you expect a final outcome?
That's hard to say, but we're hoping to have some really solid information within a year.
And that's Michael Sasrols from the Wits University. He is an independent consultant.